Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Yud Amud Bet, that's 10b, and we are on the fourth line, just a couple of words into the fourth line. This series of recordings is a joint project with OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Now, what we've been talking about, and we've been talking about this for some time, is what is permitted and not permitted on Chulo Shel Moed, on Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of the festival. And what we've been talking about right now are things that are done Litzorach HaMoed, things that you are allowed to do because you need to do them for the sake of the festival. So in our particular Mishnah, we were talking about millstones. How much work are you allowed to do on a millstone in order to grind grain so that you can make bread or other food on the festival? Can you bore the hole in the top of the millstone or widen it? Most people say you can't bore the initial hole, but you could widen it. Can you score new grooves in it in order that it will work better, et cetera, et cetera? And also, we were talking about whether or not you can trim the hooves of animals that turn the millstone. All of these things are things that are associated with Tzorach HaMoed, things that you need to do in order to enjoy the festival properly. Just two other factors that play into this. One is whether or not the work that you're doing is Maaseh Hedyot, an action that anyone can do, that is a layperson can do it at home, or Maaseh Uman, or the work of an expert that you need special training in order to do. Things that are Maaseh Hedyot that anyone could do at home are allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, but the work of an expert is not usually allowed to do. Under certain conditions, you can do a Maaseh Uman, but you may have to do it with a shinui, some kind of change. That is, either you don't complete the action 100%, so we talked about that related to both with millstones and also with sewing and stitching, that you just don't complete the action, or perhaps you do it in a slightly different way so that you can remind yourselves that it's the moed. So we're going to talk about a number of kinds of activities that relate to these topics. Most of them are activities that we don't particularly engage in, but were maybe more common in Talmudic times. We start with Rava. It's in parentheses because the Aruch says it should be Rav. So either Rava or Rav. Shara lisaruke susia. Rava permitted on Chol HaMoed to comb a horse. So they had these metal combs, circular metal combs, that you would run down the horse's hide in order to get rid of extra hair and to make the horse, look shiny and good. So apparently, if you were going to ride a horse on Chol HaMoed, you were allowed to comb the horse so that it looked nice. And then he says, ulemivne akarpita, and to build an akarpita, ulemivne itzdeba, and to build an itzdeba. There is some dispute about what these things are. One version of akarpita says that it is a trough for horses. That's what Rashi writes, that it's where you can build the trough so that you can put the food in, and then you lead the horse in to eat from the trough. So the horse has to eat on Chol HaMoed, and the way that a horse eats is from a trough, so you can build a trough in order to build it. Another version of akarpita says that it is a wooden kind of bench. It's unclear to me if it's a wooden kind of bench that people sit on. People need a place to sit on Chol HaMoed. Or if it is like kind of like a wooden post that you tie a horse to, which might be connected to the trough idea. The itzdeba is some kind of a bench. It's a safsal. Some people say the difference between an akarpita and an itzdeba is that an akarpita is a wooden bench and an itzdeba is a stone bench. The Tosfot seems to say that they're very similar. They're just two slight modifications of kinds of benches. But Rava permits the construction of either of these kinds of structures, either for the needs of the animal or for the needs of people on Chol HaMoed. Rava, so if the previous one was said by Rav, this one is said by Rava. Rava shara lemishgal dama lebehema. Rava permitted drawing the blood of an animal on Chol HaMoed. It was a medical procedure in ancient times to draw blood. They felt that it reduced the pressure of the blood on a person and could help in healing. Mostly common current medical knowledge says that in most conditions, letting blood today is not healthy, but it was common medical practice at the time. B'chola d'mo'ada on Chol HaMoed. So the point of it is that you were allowed to do medical procedures on your animal on Chol HaMoed if it was necessary. And Abaye continues, Amar le Abaye, Tanya d'misaya lach, there is a braita that supports your opinion. Mekizin dam lebehema, you can let blood for an animal. The ein monin refuah lebehema, you do not prevent any medical activity from happening for an animal, b'chulo shel moed, on the intermediate days of the festival. If the animal is sick, you're allowed to do whatever medical procedures you need to do to make them better. Our third statement says, so this might be an argument to say that all of these are Rava, because this will be the third statement in a row of Rava. Rava share lekaskuse kirme. Rava permitted some kind of work with garments. Rashi says that lekaskuse kirme means to beat out the dust. So you take garments and you hit them with a stick or a fan or something in order to beat out the dust, and that this is a maase hedyot. This is an action that anybody can do to beat out the dust. However, that's what Rashi says in the Kitvei Yad. There are two Rashis. There's the Kitvei Yad and the Rashi that we have on the page. The Rashi on the page says that it means to iron. It's gehuts, that it's that you are taking out the wrinkles of clothing. Tosfos says it has something to do with pressing, also maybe to take out the wrinkles, but some kind of pressing on the garment to make it look nicer. So these things are allowed to be done. You're allowed to make your garments look nicer on Chol HaMoed. My time. Well, what's the reason? Maaseh Hedyotu, any of these actions, whether it's ironing or pressing or beating out the dust, is considered to be something that an ordinary person can do at home. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami, Amar Rav Chisda, we say in the name of Rav Chisda, Kiture Bire Asur, ironing in pleats is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. So these kinds of pleats, it would be kind of equivalent to creating like a cuff on a shirt. It's not something that everybody knows how to do. You kind of have to be a tailor to do it. And therefore, since it is a maitaima, says the Gemara, what's the reason why it's forbidden? Maase umanhu, it is the work of a professional, and therefore you should not do it on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rava. Rava says, and now we have a series of teachings that are related to our topic, but what they are basically saying is there's a series of teachings that says that certain activities may or may not be permitted depending on exactly how you do them. So there's a subtle differences between them, and it may depend on what your goal is. If your goal is X, as evinced by your actions Y, then it was permitted. If your goal is Z, as determined by your actions A, then it's not permitted. So very, very similar actions may be permitted or forbidden depending on the context in which they are done. We're going to have four examples. Amar Rava. Rava says, Man dematkil ara, a person that is clearing a field. You know, what it probably means by clearing a field is leveling it out, as we'll see in a second. Adata de bedare, if he is doing it in order to create a threshing floor, it's permitted. So he needs a threshing floor in order for the needs of the moed. As we said, this is letzorach moed. He needs to have a flat area in his field so that he can do some threshing, and then he'll take the grains and make them into bread. Adata da'ara, but if he's doing it in order to level out his field so that he can plant it, that's not letzorach moed, that is letzorach achar hamoed. You're leveling your field so that it will be ready for planting next week. Asir, that is forbidden. Hechidami, what exactly is the case? Like, how can you tell what his intentions are? So his intentions are evinced by the way he does it. If he's clearing the field, but he's doing mulia bimulia, he's piling dirt on dirt, venitza benitza, and he is digging out the areas that are dug out, then adata de bedari. Then he is doing it in order for the threshing floor. There's some dispute about exactly what this means. Either it means that, Tosfos says he's putting the soft dirt on the soft dirt and the hard dirt on the hard dirt, but Rashi says it, and I think it makes more sense, that he is only clearing. It seems to imply that he's only clearing part of the field. In other words, there are some areas that are left lumpy. He creates a mound of dirt on the side, and he continues to dig out a section on the side. But for the sake of a threshing floor, he doesn't need the whole field to be flattened. He just needs one part to be flattened. However, shakal mulya, if he takes a mound, v'shad debenatza, and he throws it into the ditch, adata da'ara, then he's doing it for the sake of clearing the ground. In other words, he's taking every mound and leveling it out so that the field is completely even. If the field is completely even, the only reason he could be doing that is so that they would plant it. For planting, you need to have the whole field even. For threshing, you only need to have one section even. The Amar Rava, Rava said, a second teaching, Haiman dezache zichi, if he is clearing twigs from a field, twigs and branches, Adata Ditsibe, if he's doing it because he wants to collect branches for firewood or to weave a basket or whatever he's doing it for, shari, then it's permitted. Adata Da'ara, but if he's doing it in order to clear the field because before you plant the field, you don't want it to have branches and twigs on it, asir, then it's forbidden. Hechidami, what's the case exactly? Shakil Ravrave Vishavik Zutre, if he takes the large branches out of the field, but he leaves the small branches, Adata Ditsibe, then it's clear that his intention is to gather the sticks because he wants to only, you know, he needs sticks, so he's gathering the sticks, and he doesn't want little sticks. He might as well spend his time, you know, getting the big sticks. The question is whether or not if he only gathers little sticks and leaves the big sticks, if that would also apply, perhaps. Shakil Rav Rave Vizutre, but if he takes both the big sticks and the little sticks, Adata Da'ara, then he's doing it for the sake of the land because he's trying to clear the whole field so that he can plant it. Okay, Rava's third teaching in this style, V'amar Rava, Hai man de patach maya la'are. If a person opens up, releases a dam so that it lets a stream of water into his field. Now that might seem like it's forbidden on Chol HaMoed. It's an agricultural activity that promotes growth. We've talked about this quite a bit in the beginning of the tractate. When is it permitted to irrigate your field and when not? But in this case, it says, Adata de Kavre, if his goal in opening up the stream is so that he can catch fish, so he's opening up the stream and then he's going to put a net out to catch the fish in it. Share, that's permitted. Adata de Ara, but if he's doing it in order to irrigate his field, usir, then it is forbidden. That's assuming, I imagine, that it's a field that you're not allowed to irrigate on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. Hey Chidami, what's the case exactly? Patach tre babe, if he opens up two gates, Chad may lie, one on the top of his field, v'chad mi tatai, and one on the bottom, adata de kavre. Then he's doing it for the sake of the fish, because he's letting the water go in at one side and out on the other side. So he's not trying to keep the water in his field, he just wants the water to flow through so he can catch the fish. Pata chad baba, but if he only opens one gate, adata de ara, then he's doing it for the sake of the land, because what he wants is the water to run into the land and stay there so that it will pool in and irrigate the entire field. The Amar Rava, Rava's fourth teaching on this topic, Haiman de Pashach Dikla, a person who is trimming a date palm. Adata de Chevata, if he's doing it for the sake of his animals, related to the word Chaya, if he's doing it for the sake of his animals, Shari, it's permitted. In other words, he is trimming the dates off of the date palm so that he can feed them to his animals. Adata de Dikla, but if he's doing it in order to promote the health of the date palm, Asir, then it's forbidden because he's doing work that's not for the need of the Moed, it's actually for after the Moed, and it's agricultural work that you're not supposed to do. Hey Chidami, what's the case exactly? Shakil kule michad gisa, if he's trimming it all on one side, adata dechevata, then he's doing it for the sake of his animals, because he doesn't need to trim the whole tree, he just needs to trim enough to feed his animals. Mehagisa umehagisa, but if he does it on both sides of the tree, adata dikla va'aser, then he's doing it for the sake of the date palm itself, he has to do it on both sides, otherwise it won't work, va'aser, and then it is forbidden. So these are all examples of things that might be permitted on Chol HaMoed, depending on how you do them. We're going to stop there, and we'll continue with a few other examples in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.